Australian Bible Church, November the 7th, 2010. Presbyterian Church, following the Bible without qualification, and the Lord Jesus Christ without compromise, by faith. And we're continuing on John 18:19, the heading, the deity, the dismissal, and the debacle, and by contrast, the divine, the delight, and the deliverance, two ways. This week, as we move along in this contrast, we're looking at a subtitle, that is the title for the second part, Abandonment and Access. The same sort of contrast. This week, I saw it. An alliance between Britain and France. After the wars of yore, an alliance of what might have been thought of as the king of the beasts, the lion of Britain, with France. France, first of all, Romanized and then secularized in the revolution of 1789. Britain, Protestantized, to the extent you can do it at all to a nation. Now organized, almost as one. Research, weapons, even deployment of the navies, both together, an aircraft carrier from you and one from you, if you please, so that they might have a tangible power. But I read in the same newspaper, this same France is at the same time making a glorious arrangement with another nation. Nuclear things will be given out to with liberality. Maybe peaceable, who can tell? And the other nation? China. So, will it be you do not need a spy to go from England to China? Who can tell? What a strange world. Everything merging. In what direction, along with the Prince of Wales, so keen to be looking after Islam? Defender of the faiths. We are moving fast, are we not? Into a Europe like that predicted in Revelation 13. 10 kings, you say? Where are the 10 kings? Surely there are 10 kings mentioned in Revelation. Where are they? Tell me now. The common market. The European Union. There's now many members. 10! Ridiculous. But wait. Before you say one tiny murmur against the scripture, realize you are going to be wrong. I predict it. Have you heard of the Western European Union? Appointed for dealing with the European Union's matters of defense, of organization against possible attack. It was worked in the Cold War as a military ambassador, power, specialty. And do you know how many kings are in it? I will tell you. There are 10. But you say, for how long has this been? Oh, would half a century interest you? From 1954. With the modified Brussels Treaty. There it was with its 10. In 2010, there it still is. With how many? I tell you, 10. It has 6 more associates and still more others. But there are 10. And they have been appointed to dwell on and deal with defense, difficulties, military matters. Europe is quickly becoming abandoned. You remember the new European treaty? You remember how they refused to put anything about Rome? They thought of Romanism, that is. They thought of Greece and Rome of all, but no. They all going together, but there's no idea of where. That's it. Exactly happening. Abandonment is coming fast. Don't forget that Europe was once thought of as a great center for Christianity. It was perverted into Romanism in part. They probably killed millions of people with their Inquisition. But it still was a great center. And then the British Empire took over. Abandonment. It's coming. But it's already come. Go back to the time of Christ. Abandonment to the things I've just mentioned. It comes, why? Because of the abandonment of Jesus Christ by this same Rome. It's the Treaty of Rome that after all organized this in the beginning. By this same Rome. Remember the time when Pilate said, the governor from Rome, you go and crucify him. Rome didn't want to get involved with this business. But we've got to put him to death. You know, you're the only one that can do that, in brackets. What have you done? He says to Christ. The Jews want to implicate him. If anything goes wrong, he will be the one, not they. They don't want any repercussions. Very good at looking after themselves in this matter. But the abandonment of Christ came with a dismissal of pity. Last time we saw, behold the man. There he was, in the regalia of agony, amid the activism of anguish, the calls of the scornful. Crucify him, they say, with the dismissal of pity and the dismissal of his regality alike. But it was their own pity they were dismissing. Ever since, nation after nation has felt no pity. Israel to this moment is unjustly, ingloriously, unbelievably, insultingly, almost insanely assaulted. It's one of the historical testimonies showing the Bible is quite right, and they want to eliminate it. Also, the Islamics want to eliminate it because they want the world, and it's part of the world, and it's a problem to them. At least that is the case with Al-Qaeda, very largely, and there are many like them. Not waiting, we saw, was the problem. They didn't wait to see what Christ could do for them. They terminated his triumphal coming to this earth speedily. And in dismissing pity and abandoning him, they were abandoned. The heaven shall be as brass to your prayers. And they were. You shall be cast out of your land, Leviticus 26, and they were. And now they're back and the world can hardly stand it in Europe. I know it has scarcely been supportive of them. Oh, it is true, Germany gave, I think, 800 million when it was worth a lot more after the war, but that was a particular matter of having killed 6.5 million of the Jews. You might think a sort of a cover. Now the world is being pitiless on itself, just as Israel was pitiless on itself, and I detest to see this world trying to condemn Israel as though it was the horror nation. It's doing exactly the same thing. It's moving in Europe away, abandoning all the past, abandoning almost anything of a consolidated character in Christianity, and it's dismissing Christ the same as Israel did, and it's asking for the same God, who is no respecter of persons, to bring the same sort of treatment, the same sort of rejection. And what will this mean? Oh, the Antichrist and the collusion and the failure of collusion and the dismissal of these people as the Lord breaks them as a potter's vessel. As in Psalm 2, as in Micah 7, when they shall go into their holes, all these nations that are so glorious. When Christ then was abandoned and rejected, and we're seeing what happened right back in the simple time, as just we've been currently referring to the current applications of the same thing, what did he do? Well, there was a king. Kings don't cry, except to God, and for the sake of those who are crushed. And God has made us priests and kings in Christ, that they may lament with tears and in Christ himself, as we lament for the loss of many in Europe and the dismantlement of the faith by many attackers, all of whom are wrong Our World Wide Web Witness website has dedicated this 23 million words to showing the glory of Christ, the truth of the Bible, the impossibility of the other options, and the heart of the gospel. It's one. There are many others. There is a testimony which will continue to the end, because they loved not their lives unto the death for the testimony of Christ. Christ did not love his life to the death. Christ didn't cry to Pilate, "Have mercy upon me. What can you do for me? Who are you? Where are you from? Don't you realize I have power of life and death? I can have you crucified. Listen to me." "You have no power at all," says Christ, "unless it were given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has greater sin." Meaning Jesus, Judas, of course. Notice three things about that statement. Firstly, you would have no power at all. Pilate's power would not be lesser if God had not given it to him. It wouldn't be there at all. This applies to all the worldly, national, international, and subversive internal works of the devil, such as occurring in so many places, like so many universities, one of the latest being the removal of Creation Research University for tertiary postgraduate work in America. I believe in Texas. It's acceptable in California, not now. So that's gone. You're not allowed to have a society which says creation happens to be scientifically accurate and it's biblical and we will teach it. No. Out. This world is categorical in its condemnation of Christ. It uses different means indirectly to secure one result: crush Christianity. It may do it by those who call themselves Christians in some cases. And isn't that good? 8 1/3% of Jesus Christ's apostles were a devil. That's a lot. And it's supposed to get much worse. Many false prophets. So let's notice the three things about Christ's statement. You could have no power at all against me unless it were given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greatest sin. Firstly, there'd be no power at all unless given from above. We need not fear, compromise, equivocate, or seek little scraps from this world's ways. They could have no power at all, nor get any part or particle, organization or government have any power at all unless it were given from above. None at all. It's all part of a scenario. We needn't be concerned about it. You just go on doing what you're supposed to do, like any other soldier, except we happen to be spiritual soldiers. Secondly, it means that power is from God. Power is from God. Therefore, there is no power that is autonomously coming from the essential Pilate. If he could have no power at all, not only is this a matter of God's determination, but from himself he's not to be feared. His imposing countenance is not to be a matter of terror. There is no need for compromise or equivocation with him. You can have no power at all unless we've given to you from above. There is no compromise with Pilate. Christ doesn't make any pleas. Thirdly, notice about the statement. There is sin in Pilate's action. When Christ said the greater sin, in effect, is in Judas, that's not to say that the lesser sin is not somewhere else. It's graded. Pilate's sin is still there. And Pilate has to bear, the same as every nation and university and college and false preacher and false prophet, has to bear the incidence of rejection. The incidence of not standing up for Christ. The incidence of being ashamed of him of whom God will be ashamed in that day, as you read in Luke 9. Therefore, any plan for an entente between this world and its ways and Christ and his majesty as king, not only of the Jews, but ruler of the earth, to come is doomed. It is abandoned. It is dismissed. As Christ was dismissed, so any endeavor to make an entente with his crucifiers is not wise. You know the word, don't you? Traitor. How many million traitors are currently having an entente in the name of Christ in false churches with this world and its ways? No entreaty to Pilate. No entente, no accommodation. It is ludicrous to combine the unfaith and unbelief of this world or false churches relative to the Bible and to Christ. As so many lecturers and teachers and principals seem willing to do, even daring to teach folly in their schools because the curriculum says so, and taking money from parents in order to teach them what the state in its unbelief and attack and assault on Christ demands. How could they? I know of one principal who, when told that he would have to ease up on his moral distinctions about having sexually immoral people on his staff, said, "I'll close the school before you do that." But I don't hear it being done on the issue of creation. Why not? Who will collaborate? Not Christ. How then his disciples? You know that you can't serve God and mammon, but you also can't serve God and the devil, who is a liar. And what lie is there worse than this? To deny Jesus as the Christ. His word is the truth. Thy word is truth. Not a jot or tittle will pass till all is fulfilled. Next we note, Pilate at this point became decided, but not decisive. It says, from that time on, he sought to deliver Christ. Yes, he was decided. He knew his own mind now. But he wasn't decisive. He sought, it says. He sought to release Christ. Fancy seeking to do something when you are specifically empowered as an executive of the most powerful empire at that time on earth. You are seeking to do something. You're empowered to do it. An army is at your disposal, but you don't do it. And so with Christ, an army of the power of God. You remember the case with the young man for whom the prophet prayed that he might see all the powers of God available. The powers are available, but they are not used. He sought to release Christ. I had to do it. I had to do it. I know I had the power. I know, but I had to. I'm sorry. I just collapsed. Oh, did you? What a pity. If in World War I and World War II the soldiers had just collapsed, we wouldn't have this freedom, would we? And if soldiers of Christ are going to collapse, what's that supposed to portend? Nothing to do with his kingdom. I had to do it. My school, my college, my scoop. I couldn't do it further. I was attacked. I was afflicted. My salary would be affected. My pocket would crumble. Who would look after my children? Do you serve God to abandon his principles, loose his procedures, consort with the works of the devil, even teaching them? We see the same equivocal sort of endeavor to be both things at once in other areas, such as Australia, where in fact we need a government of godly purpose, not one of winking and blinking and compromise. We need a government of integrity which has no need to endorse or allow the principles opposite to the platform on which it was elected. And the current government came to power and took a radical party which had had no part in its original platform, and then started moving in that direction in detailed matters. There was the winking and the blinking, but there was not the enterprise of uncompromising integrity. If governments fail, foiled in their contrivances, if the people are thus misled and misrepresented in this world, yet there is no need for it to happen in the church. We do not need to follow such a lead or such an example. In the church where there's a mandate and a commission for it not to happen, In Christ you see the lead required. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? I'll repeat that. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, he said, and not do the things which I say? Mark those who cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine you received, and avoid them. Oh, but no, we cannot. Why? Oh, it would disrupt tradition. It would interfere. For years I have always... Oh, really? I thought a cross hurt. Take up your cross and follow me. Unfortunately, going one step in a false way easily leads to the next one. Pilate, now viewed as an individual, has seen the right course, is fortified for it. He begins to feel not only the indignity perhaps done to our wonderful leader, Jesus Christ, but the damage to righteousness. In principle, yes, but the surging populace finds a manipulative tongue. You are no friend of Caesar if you let this man go. No friend of Caesar. Caesar, 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 ambassador, Pilate. My family, my pocket, my prestige, my job. Oh, I know in my own mind that, I mean, it's another thing to do it, isn't it? Action can be disastrous. One must be careful, prudent, watchful. And so it leads to another step. Spare Christ and insult Caesar. Are you willing to do this, Mr. Pilate? Pilate acted positively in heart. It was not so in history. He allowed the reality of Christ to be dismissed, to be abandoned. What specious and sophisticated nonsense. When Stalin asked Churchill how many military divisions the Pope had, he was applying his ruthless philosophy of power, as if it came from nowhere and went anywhere. And power is a quality of the creations which God has made, whether corrupt or not. Power belongs to God. If this basic message isn't realized, where will faith work? If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, go into the midst of the seas. John the Baptist was willing to forgo a salary, you know. He was willing to forgo a seaside residence. He even lived in the wilderness. He even ate lake locusts and wild honey. It's marvelous what you can do if you mean it, isn't it? Power belongs to God. Twice I have heard this, says David in Psalm 62. Now, if someone has power, what of it? It's only temporary and subject to judgment, as this one's on. Accept the Lord's pardon in Christ's name through the faith of the sinner by grace. All are subject to the judgment for what they've done with power. To be sure, there was a movement towards worship which gathered force after this in Rome, where the government had to be worshipped in the person of the emperor, and it came later on in Romanism, when the church's power took over. So you had to worship a piece of bread. The same principle. The state has power, worship the emperor. The church has power, worship the bread. The pretexts and subterfuges make no difference. The same authority and power and twisting of the truth proceed. You can imagine Pilate musing away. Let's try and imagine what he might have been thinking at this crucial moment of his history and the history of the world and the involvement of Rome. The name given for that final empire which through the Holy Roman Empire and the Eastern Roman Empire and through the endeavors of Napoleon and Hitler has had its various ebullitions, its various continuities right on to the common market and the European Union. We've seen all these things. So we go back to the days of Pilate. Crucify him, you're no friend of Caesar, if you let this man go. We can imagine Pilate saying, not Caesar's friend, eh? That is as it may be, but assuredly the risk of a swollen psyche, a mad mind, an inventive people, spirit, coming to a portion of the empire to the emperor's ears, who can tell what it might lead to? Dominating folly could force the emperor to do something stupid. And who would be the first to suffer? I can tell you, Pilate Incorporated, profit-making organization. Certainly these people could so twist Caesar as to make it look as if this Jesus, a man of love and healing power, a man I'm trying to deliver, a remarkable man, as if he were in fact some kind of aspirant to political power. Absolute nonsense. I find no fault with this man. And yet, it proved costly to stand up for him. A message which needs to go through many churches who have long since capitulated to this world. So Pilate capitulated, giving an example for the Pilate people, spelt P-I-L-A-T-E, not P-I-L-O-T. So he capitulated. He became abandoned, as Europe increasingly is doing. And I say Europe because this is our own Pilate premise, and we've got to get used to it. So the people are dismissing Christ's regality, just as Pilate is abandoning principle for practice, truth for perseverance, for survival. One of the main idols of the 21st century, and like the case of Israel, it is in this. Israel, through these leaders, sought survival and perished 40 years later, and so will be the case for this world. It will seek survival by conniving and compromising and qualifying and equivocating many who are in the alleged church but actually are worshipping the beast because they do what it says. Do what it says. Here's your master whom you obey, isn't it? So the people are dismissing Christ's regality. And it will be so, he said, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I pray for Israel, for that day when the Spirit will be poured out upon them, and they will look upon him whom they have pierced through the Spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall realize their sin and repent, and a fountain for sin shall be opened in Jerusalem. When that happens, the power of God will be seen as in Micah 7, as in Psalm 2, as in Deuteronomy 32, as in Isaiah 66. Then he was delivered to them. The King of the Jews. Pilate, don't put up there the King of the Jews. I mean, he's their man now. You know, they've got him involved. Pilate did it. He's the governor. Don't blame us. No, just destroy us. Don't put up there, Pilate, the King of the Jews. But he said, the King of the Jews, I. What I have written, I have written. Great, isn't it? Now that the danger is past and you've given the wolves the fallen steer to eat, you can talk about filigree work, like what I have written, the King of the Jews. Pilate can now express himself. Whether he writes this or that will upset the Jews. But if he hadn't delivered him for a crucifixion, it might have upset Pilate. His place, his power, his name. And what is his name but shame? And I want to make the point that those who follow and equivocate and do not stick with the Bible and are willing to teach folly because the state says so. Is this a case of the disciples of Pilate? I well remember to this day some independent Baptists who were going to be praying with us and they were concerned with us and involved with us in delivering the children of this state in the farcical business that in science you're not allowed to discuss what is in fact the only unanswerable scientific situation creation. You can't discuss it. You can't rebut. You can't reason. You can't bring things up. You've got to just sit there and reproduce. They were going to help. And then they faded away. They just disappeared. A lecture from Pilate seemed to upset them. What business does anyone have when he sets his hand to the plough, when he sets himself to deliver, suddenly to vacate, to leave the army? But they weren't the only ones. There was another group, while we're in the very midst with great hope and success, a group of Presbyterians. They suddenly abandoned, no further, leaving in the very midst of the battle. What is it for those who will abandon the children like this? I can only mourn for them if by any means the Lord will bring them to repentance. For we have access. We have access to the glory of God. We have access to the power of God. So long as you don't say, oh, that involves suffering, that can't be the right way. That involves difficulty, that must be wrong. Is it to be a matter of being stirred a little like Pilate, but not acting? Doing a little, but not enough? Serving Christ, but only when it's convenient? Is to be an automatic cut-off? Is religion to be regarded as an additive, to be extorted for convenience, rather than involving a cross? Except, of course, for other people to take up. But Jesus said, take up your cross. He didn't mean wear your neck piece. It involves forsaking all, not magpieing. I'll take this bit and that bit and that. That's too hard. That's obviously not appropriate. That would involve suffering. There seems to have come a time when the religions of religiosity, such as were attacked, in particular in the case of Israel, of course, by Isaiah as in Isaiah 1. By the Lord as in Matthew 23. Religions of religiosity. Whether they've been secularized, but have underlying ideas of law and order and certainty, as in communism, and isn't some of the democratic failures of today, whether they've been sanitized, so that you change the things which upset you, or transcendentalized, when you have some strange, what shall we call it, teleology, that is bringing the world along. You seem to go for these things, like one famous biological writer, even though they've been at pains to show that there's no change in design, there's no alteration, yet something is drawing them forth. But how can you draw them forth unless they're there? And how can it be there unless they're put there? Transcendentalized so long as it is not risen. Clear. Direct. So long as you can blame God for his failure to communicate and not man for his failure to excommunicate what is evil and to do what is right. These religions have pretended knowledge, as in the actual rebellion in Eden on the part of Satan. They exalt the desolate. They act as if to mangle the conscience, the mind and the aura of the spirit of man. The Islamics are only one example, as they do it with guns and bullets and fragments of flesh and pieces of steel cut in order to cut into the veins and the hearts of kids or others, as the case may or may not be. Many agree. Whether it's attacking the mind or the body, what is the difference? Are we looking at secularized religiosity in the state of South Australia, assaulting by a sort of mental terrorism the hearts and souls of the children who are not even allowed to answer? You see, the beginning of all this in Genesis 3, the type of it in Daniel 9, the proliferation of it in Matthew 24:24, there shall be many false Christs, false transcendentalized, false secularized, false sanitized ways. And you see the atmosphere at the end in Daniel 12:2. You see it in Revelation 16 when those spirits go hopping out to delude, to pollute. You see it in the false prophet, like Goebbels to Hitler, would be like the second beast, the religious beast that learnt their lesson. Communism without religion, at least not admitted religion, didn't have it. It didn't meet the facts, so you've got to have a religious beast this time to try and do it better. But access to God is what Pilate lacked, what Israel failed in, what secularized, sanitized, and transcendentalized religiosity lacks. But what the Christian does not lack, and what through all this the Christian must realize, this is your environment, this is the jungle, walk on the path, it's straight and narrow, and continue as a soldier ought to continue, fearlessly doing the word of God. It's to God that one looks for what is needed, not to man. be he never so filled with his own religiosity. Didn't I love seeing the wanton professor at Harvard in the area of biology saying, admittedly, what we're teaching, and that of course is evolution, has a lot that's quite absurd, his word, not mine. We have a lot of just-so stories, his word, not mine. He's admitting it, but he says, but we've got to come back to this materialism. Why? The thoughts about materialism are not material. How can you have materialism if even to think it, you've got to break it? Only one more self-contradiction. But he says, no, we've got to have these absurdities. Got to. Ah, Pilatism. We are having a disciple of Pilate. We've got to do all these silly things because of that, you know, don't you see? No, I don't really see. I can only see Pilate. We can only see P-I-L-O-T. One more of the many, the multitudes, the world, pushing to the things which are absurd. That's what we show on our website. The alternatives are absurd. They don't even begin to add up at all. But it's marvelous what a person can see when he's brainwashed for years in a prison, whether in China or elsewhere. It's marvelous in the case of Solzhenitsyn, what he doesn't see when he's willing to stand and address corrupt religious power as Solzhenitsyn did. When you are willing to glorify the Lord, then there is power. When you find in him the rock, it's unshakable and unquakeable. You have everything rather than what this world offers. Do not therefore pilotize, but abide in Christ and bear much fruit. And let the fruit be beautiful, just as you are dutiful in the dynamic of the Lord. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word, which is truth, for your way, which is excellent, for your Son, who is the sovereign, filled with glory, compassion, pity, and understanding, and truth. We thank you for the truth. He is the truth. We thank you for the way. There it is. It's there. We thank you for the life. It's abundant. Grant us, O Lord, to be faithful. Oh, what a word. Faithful. To him, in Jesus' name.